For all we apartment dwellers or black thumb types who yearn for fresh things snipped from our own plants, even if they're on windowsills, solutions are afoot. They come from organic farmer Elizabeth Millard. She faced long Minnesota winters hungry for fresh-picked eats. So she devised what might be a siren song for even non-gardeners. Her book is Indoor Kitchen Gardening, Turning Your Home into a Year-Round Vegetable Garden. Elizabeth, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Lynn.
So, okay, you start the book with microgreens. So I gather that's a good starter project.
Yes.
Give me, just do a brief walkthrough of how do I begin growing microgreens and which ones should I start with?
Sure. So microgreens are basically the first stage of growth of a plant. So it's not like there's some special plant out there called microgreens. So you can have this wide variety. You could have basil, carrots, radishes, mustards, and you can create a mix with different microgreens. And all you really need is just a little bit of soil because they're going to have a very shallow root system.
Right.
And drainage would be great. So a lot of times we grow microgreens in those little plastic containers that you have for blueberries.
Oh, yeah, because they have holes in them.
Yeah, or raspberries or something like that.
Right.
And that's something that would fit really well on your countertop.
Because they don't need a super amount of light?
Not really. You just get a light and you put it pretty close.
How long does it take before I have a green?
It depends on what the variety is. If you have something that's longer, let's say beets, then that would take a longer amount of time, maybe 3 or 4 weeks. But if you have something that's fast, like cress, maybe a week.
And that's it. I've got it.
That's it. You have it.
You said something here that I thought was really intriguing. It sort of stopped me in my tracks. That there's 40 times in some cases nutrients in a microgreen than in the mature plant. Did I get that right?
Yes. I have been doing some research on that. And this was an academic study from the Journal of Agricultural Chemistry, I believe. I might have that. You'll have to buy my book to find out if I'm correct. But they did a nutrient density study, and they found that because the energy of the plant is so concentrated, that it's incredibly nutrient dense.
And they're very powerful in terms of flavor.
Yes, extremely.
Really distinctive.
Really intense.
Okay, from microgreens, the next place that you go is the sprout.
Yes.
Now, I always think of, you know, bean sprouts, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you talked about something that really rang a bell with me. And I'll tell you a quick story. We were doing a show in Hawaii several years ago. And we were on a farm where a man was working organically. And I was asking him, you know, what are you doing that's different from everyone else? And he said, well, we're trying to do corn shoots. And he took us to a small building because he said, we try to keep it out of the light. And you walk in, it's pitch black. And the aroma of sweet corn was so intense. It was like a wave coming at you. And there were these 3-inch high yellow shoots.
Mm-hmm.
I was just blown away. Can I do that?
Yes.
Really?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, if you want to have a whole warehouse full of them, that's up to you. But yeah, my partner Carl and I just decided for fun to see if we could grow these sweet corn shoots. So we just bought some organic popcorn from the co-op and we soaked them in water so they would begin to sprout a little bit.
Right.
And then we just threw them into some soil. And the reason that
they don't cover anything.
Oh, no, you don't have to.
You do it on top of the soil.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So you do it on top of the soil, microgreens too, and any kind of shoot you do. And they're so weird and flavorful, and they taste like you're biting into sweet corn, into fresh sweet corn, not even cooked sweet corn.
Oh,
it's amazing.
I can only imagine putting this on a salad or just putting this in my mouth has got to be just great. Now, okay, so the sprout idea is basically you soak whatever you want to sprout, and then it goes on a thin layer of soil?
Right, exactly.
And generally, it'll take, what, a week or so to sprout, depending on what it is?
Yeah, it depends on what it is. The peas really don't take very long at all. We do a lot with the pea shoots, so that might take just a couple days, maybe 2 or 3 days.
Boy, this is instant gratification, isn't
it? It really is.
I like that. I like that a lot. you talk about lemongrass, and this was very striking to me. Lemongrass I love. It's a wonderful seasoning. We're seeing it more and more, but it's hard to find. And when you find it, it's often $12, $13 a pound.
Right. And it looks a little worse for wear because it's had a long journey.
And it's a long, tall stalk. Mm-hmm. I can sprout this in my house.
Yeah.
How do I do it?
Well, if you can get it from whatever source, you need to have a source for the lemongrass.
Right.
And then a little bit like an onion where you just put it in some water and it should begin to sprout and have some roots.
Uh-huh.
And then from there, you can just plant it.
We can do that with onions?
We do that with scallions all the time. So, I mean, I think at this point, we buy scallions on the off season, maybe once every month or so. And we use a lot of scallions. So just be sure to buy the ones that still have the roots on them, the little white little roots.
Yeah.
And you put those in water. And then what it will do is grow from the top. And then you cut those and it will just keep on trucking.
It'll keep doing it. And
it'll
you just keep cutting.
It's a happy little plant. It wants to please you.
I would imagine with all the shallow planting you're talking about with sprouts and microgreens,
mm-hmm.
I would imagine that mold or you know, that kind, if you overwater, you're really going to have a deterioration problem.
I mean. Right. And that's why also in the book, one thing that I like to say is about airflow. So you really want to get maybe one or two small fans. If you have an overhead fan, that's perfect. Just set it on low.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're doing inside is you're trying to replicate the outside as much as possible. So when you think about outside, there's wind.
Right.
And that stresses the plant just a little bit. And that's good. Plants need just a tiny bit of stress.
Thanks for talking with us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Elizabeth Millard is the author of Indoor Kitchen Gardening.